grain of rice, a grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
How are you doing, guys and girls out there? I hope you're all well and surviving and minding yourselves. You're very welcome along again to the Irish Examiner Hurling podcast. Monday morning, coming towards the end of September, the leaves are falling all around us. The usual crew of bandits are here this morning. Mr. Landers is back from buying the two-year-old in Wexford last week. But he won't tell us either, but he didn't tell us Getaway Cream was running Friday night either. And she finished a tasty third. And somebody backed her from 10 to 1 into 6 to 1.
Yeah, I'd love to know who that was, Dale, because it certainly wasn't me. But you know what? It was great to get to Dundalk on a Friday night, right? First time back in 6 months. Owners are allowed to go. And I didn't get home till midnight. And we need to talk to Michael Lowry again, like, about getting that track in Tipperary, because like, for fellas coming up from South, poor old Ken Buds, he must have been exhausted because he left at about 11 o'clock Sunday and get home till about 1 o'clock in the morning. But I'm surprised you didn't see the text, Dale, that she was going and have you quit. A few shrewdies ran at 3 to 1 for a place. Now, that wasn't you or me, like, obviously. But
no, I just got burnt. Every time I backed her, Mark, I got burnt. do you know what I mean? Like, it's like marking a fella there in club hurling, maybe, and he burns you every day you go out, like, and you eventually go out to the manager and say, look, put me over in the other wing there, will you? Do you know what I mean? So, like, I think I let her run away now, and I'll enjoy it for you off now.
I think I was talking to the trainer there yesterday, and he said that we'll put her away now for a couple of weeks and give her a break and bring her back for a winter campaign. So, I'll let you know, Dale, if I hear anything.
Yeah, you actually told us the very same story 2.5 weeks ago after the run in Cork, was it? You said she's been put away now for a few weeks, and next thing she reappears. I know on Sandy was.
Dale, she's got a mark of 88 over hurdles. She'll probably get a spin, I would say, probably there in late October, start November. Just keep an eye out. She'll finish mid-division, well-held. the day afterwards, be careful. I'm telling you now, she's well in over hurdles.
You see, you can't be having the South Limerick man on the show, like, because they know the horses and stuff around there, mate.
Tell it, TJ, bye. You're some operator, Ken. Come here, TJ. I missed you last week. I actually could see you the previous Saturday night with the blue jacket you were wearing. Just like, you were like the North Star on the television.
It's got a lot of common sense, Mark. Yeah, a lot of people looking for that jacket, actually. So, yeah, it's available.
Yeah, no, that they've got enough publicity now, that clothing company.
Oh, Sexton's as well. The Sexton's for men, is it?
Yeah.
Sexton's for men, by never. It was the cheapest jacket they ever gave out, I'll tell you.
Come here, did Littlewoods Island ring you now, by any chance? Because I saw you with the socks on and the short pants. Like, I was wondering.
No, Matt, unfortunately, I'm the wrong vintage. Myself and Dale spoke about that. We're the wrong vintage for Littlewoods. We have to. We're different.
Not surprised.
And the other thing with that, Mark Landers, if you missed the show, you listened to it during the week, okay? Because we spoke about short trousers and no socks and all that last week as well, okay? So you're caught again there, right? You're so busy in the bloodstock world now, anyway. Like, it's incredible, like, you know. Financial services is only, by the way, like, you know. We're also delighted to be joined. Great to have you back, Brian Hogan. How's it going, Brian?
Great, Dale. Thanks a million. Thanks for having us back. Always a pleasure.
Sorry for ignoring you there on talking horses for 6 or 7 minutes and TJ's fetching.
Once the boys get going, there's no stopping them. No bother.
No, they're good ones.
They're passionate.
We have Larry with us as well. I suppose it was another story in Tip yesterday. It was football related, and we're not allowed to mention it on the show, but this week I think we'll have to mention it, because just torture for Lochmore again yesterday. Lad, we'll kind of go, I suppose, in date fashion. We go back to Saturday, and we go back to the Little All Ireland. We got a bit of a break from it last week, so we'll indulge him over there. An epic on Saturday during the day. Mark, you were on Co-Com's great analysis as well. Yourself and Gerard didn't always agree with each other now in certain aspects of the whole team.
No, but I suppose. It's like everything, Dale, a bit of healthy debate is no harm, and there was no blood spilt either. So I suppose, look, my team is still standing, Black Rock, but by only by the skin of their teeth now, I'd have to say. I think we mentioned in the comment, I think UCC will be gutted going away from the match because they probably were the better team over the 80 minutes that was played. But you'd have to give great credit to BlackRock for hanging in there. And like how they fashioned the draw out of it is incredible. Like, they got goals at vital times during the game, but on each occasion they got the goals, UCC went down the field and responded immediately, which was a great sign out of UCC. But I suppose late on the drama, really, like when you know, 70, 74, 75 minutes played, 6 minutes left, it's 3 points down, you really would have to say that UCC were probably had one leg in the county final. But I'd have to say great credit down to BlackRock. They never panicked. They kept recycling the ball, and I suppose in Tadhg Dese they found a real gem, because when he came on, I won't say he turned the game, but he single-handedly probably took the game to UCC. He got 4 or 5 points from centre-forward. He went in on Paddy Cadell, who was having a stormer. Himself and Matt Coleman were brilliant, I thought, all through. And I suppose for people that maybe haven't seen the game, like, UCC played with a sweeper, and it made it very, very difficult for BlackRock. And they hadn't played against that, and it took them a long time to get to grips with the sweeper, I would say. But like 326 to 34 points, the scoreboard and Parky Queeve went on the blink. Nobody actually had a good handle on what the score was, but I'd have to take my hat off to Alan Connolly in real time. He scored a free from about 75, 80 metres into whatever slight breeze was there. Magnificent score out of him. And he also got a brilliant goal during the match as well. So it had everything, Anthony. It was incredible. And we're now going to see the first, I suppose, All-City final in 30 years. The last one that was played was 1990. The Pearcy played against St Finbarr's. And I suppose, when you mentioned the Little All-Ireland, a lot of people would speak about the Glendabars and the Rockies, and if, you know, those three teams, you know, would have been synonymous with winning the counties and Cork for years. And it's the first, we'll say, of those two teams, we'll say, two of the three since 1988. So it's just the disappointing thing is that there's going to be nobody at the match, and Cork could possibly go into the lockdown, I'd say, this week, judging by what we're hearing from Neffert. And hopefully we'll be able to stave it off for a week, and Micheál Martin will give us a small bit of a chance to get our county finals. There's three county finals being played this weekend. The Premier Intermediate has been played Saturday night, Blarney and Castlelines, and you have the Senior A final at 12:30 on a Sunday, Father O'Neill's in Charleville, and then you have the Glen and the Rockies at 4:00 on Sunday, which is just a massive weekend of hurling coming, Anthony.
Mark, did you say you tipped the Rockies from earlier on in the year?
I certainly did.
That's an interesting, because like, okay, obviously you're a lot closer than I am to the Cork hurling, but everyone was talking about the Glen and, you know, the Bars. You know, I didn't hear the Rockies being mentioned. And actually, I met a few of the Rocky lads there earlier on the year, Fergal Ryan himself and Alan and John Brown and that, and we had a few pints and a great old crack. But the lads were talking about Fergal and how shrewd operator he is, you know, and a great club man, and, you know, they were hoping for big things this year. Why did you think the Rockies?
They've won about 3 or 4 Premier Minor counties, and they've also won 3 under-21s in the last decade. Now, a lot of teams, you know, a lot of people would have expected them to come through. They were actually in the county final in 2018 against Imakili. And on the day, and I would talk to Fergal Condon, actually, who's in charge of Imakili, he said, of the three counties we've won, the Rockies, he said, was the most difficult of them. The following year, they were beaten by Middleton, and probably a game that they should have won. They were caught late on. And then last year, they won the league final. Impressive. And a week later, they came out against Newtown Shandrum, and they got caught. I think they probably felt that they were going to be winning the game. And you know yourself now, when you're not fully tuned up. And Tim O'Mahony was outstanding the same night. He scored about 1-6 from play, and just got beaten, I suppose. But I felt little things happen, I suppose, along the way, Brian. There were 6 of the BlackRock team were due to go on J1 visas this year. They were all stopped going to America. So all of a sudden, they actually had their players, full panel of players to pick from. And their intermediate team, even though they were relegated this year, they have come up through the ranks as well over the last 2 or 3 years. So they have a very, very good panel of players now. But over any other team, they're the biggest and most physical team that is in Cork at this moment in time. Right. And I'd be a big believer that You know, the way the game has gone, it's a physical game. And there's been a change in the refereeing standards, I think, in Cork as well, that the referees are letting a lot more go. So the likes of Joe Lark and Simon Stokes and Cahill McAllister, probably our best referee in the county at this moment in time. There's a big focus on refereeing in Cork, and the refs are leaving it go, and we're seeing better standards of game. But I think it's probably suiting Blackrock.
And Mark, one of the things like was, you know, we didn't see it coming, but I know he won a Fitzgibbon with him this year. And like, was Conor Boylan was sort of parachuted in for UCC? And I mean, like, Conor Boylan's a Limerick intercounty player. He was magnificent for an appearance against Doon. I know they blitzed Doon, but I thought his work rate that time was incredible. And like, for him to come in, like, how much of an effect would that have for UCC, but then for the Rockies as well, like, have to deal with that? Probably didn't know maybe till 20 minutes before the game with the modern way of getting into the grounds and all this now, like.
Well, the funny thing about it is that there was a wrinkle out that Conor Boylan was coming down, and I was watching the warm-up, and there was 25 fellas tagged out for UCC, but there was 23 of them had their UCC jerseys on, and there was two fellas had no jerseys on them. And one of them happened to be Conor Boylan, like, you know, and the other fellow happened to be James Keating, you know, and James didn't play because he was injured, but Conor Boylan was there. So they were holding things really, really close to their chest. I suppose, look, I'm clear in my thinking on it, Anthony, that I think any player that has played senior in another county should just stay with the team that he has played. I think it's unfair in some respects that you should have two bites of the cherry to win two county senior medals. And we discussed this with Joe Cunningham a number of weeks ago about the college rule that in back in the day, you know, Ray Cummins would have played with UCC, but he wouldn't have played with his club. So he within Cork, you could only play with one club. So you either nominated your team. So I'm just wondering if Conor Boylan was given the option, and George made a very big point that, you know, the camaraderie that the players had built up over their time in UCC, and that winning a county medal would be massive for them. But I wonder if I asked Conor Boylan in January this year that you have to nominate one team to play for, would it be UCC or would it be the Pearshaig? I'd like to see what his response would be then, and see what really was under the hood there, whether he wanted to give up the chance of playing with the Pearshaig to play with UCC. But, you know, be that as it may, the funny thing is that the two players that went off late in the game, Conor Boylan and Killian Dwyer from Tipperary, cornerback who'd held Michael O'Halloran scoreless, they were a massive loss to UCC, because there was a couple of chances when they're begging late in the game for UCC, the balls were hit wide, and the keeper in front of Gavin Connolly and goes struck, pinged two balls out, and there were scores came off them. And 5 points were scored in the last 4 or 5 minutes by Blackrock in a game that had been 75 minutes old. Killing the Wire was a massive, massive loss. So those two fellas had a huge bearing in the game actually going off.
Yeah, and Mark, I'm imagining, I suppose maybe the purists and a lot of people in Cork are probably happy with the final pairing that you're getting, in the sense that even though UCC obviously do bring something to the championship and they're trying to raise standards and drive it on, but I'd imagine this is a final now that's going to get a lot of people talking. As I said, City final. I see the Glen are favourites and stuff. But yeah, and to go back to what Brian said early on, Mark was on the ball here early in this podcast. He tipped Blackrock at 8-1 from a long way out. So he was very much finger on the pulse and the Cork club hurling.
Teaser, thanks very much. Yeah. I won't slag any more about the jacket.
Okay.
I also said, Teaser, that I didn't think McKillie would retain their title because of the loss of the players, the Nicky Daltons and the Shem, and you know, Mark O'Keefe and Paddy O'Sullivan, and they were going for four in a row. It was always going to be a struggle for them. But I'm not anti-UCC. I just want to be clear on that now. UCC have done a massive, massive job for Cork hurling, and I think their first priority is Fitzgibbon, and they have done brilliantly with they're winning the last two Fitzgibbons, and they're bringing true players. And you know, two players in particular now this weekend, Shane Barrett and Paddy Power, from Blarney, who go on and play in the Premier Intermediate Final on Saturday night with Blarney. They've had huge exposure. And Dale, just to digress a small little bit, a little bit of history was made over the weekend. Our first penalty shootout was Aroge against Sars in the semi-final of the Intermediate grade on Saturday night. The reason I'm saying this is that Dylan Desmond, was in goals for UCC, was involved in a draw with UCC. He then came out with his club Airog the following day. That game finished a draw. It finished a draw after extra time and went to penalties. But to get to the extra time, they were 3 points down and Desmond nailed 2 long-range frees to get him to draw. He stepped up and he took the first penalty and blazed it wide. And then he turned around and he saved the next 2 penalties to send his team through to the county final against Abolog, which is going to be a local derby. It's brilliant. Dylan Desmond, take my hats off to him.
You're setting all sorts of new trends down there in Cork. They're delighted for you, really. Like, you know, it's incredible. But come here, just to go back, you said BlackRock struggled with the system, right? And it wouldn't be used to the system. And you had Pádraig Power and Conway playing inside on their own, Boylan in as a target man, wing forward, Paddy O'Loughlin sitting in the pocket, who I suppose hit more ball than anyone. But you know, from Tom Kinney's point of view then, like, I said, "'Tis a mortal sin to be playing 7 backs and concede 3 goals."
Yeah, that would be one of your reasons for playing a sweeper, that you don't concede goals. And like, when you have fellas, that the aforementioned players that you have there, if they get any bit of decent ball, they'll rack up plenty of scores, because if any opportunity to get the ball in their hand, they'll knock it over the bar. And then you throw Mark Keogh as well, another Tipperary senior hurler, who was one of the other forwards as well. But I suppose Shane O'Keefe, huge man, 6'5" at the edge of the square. He marked David Lowney from Clonakilty. And just to digress slightly, David Lowney the following day came out and won a West Cork Junior final for his club Clonakilty, which is a massive weekend for David on, you know, losing one side, winning the other side. But Shane O'Keefe was huge for BlackRock, in, not in size, but in scores. He got a goal against the run of play in the first half. And I didn't see the replay, but there was a controversial score in the second half, a goal, a ball that went over the bar, brought back into play, it seems, by Dylan Desmond, and Shane O'Keefe is standing in the square and he knocked it home for a goal. Now, Joe Larkin went in and he consulted with his umpires and they said, you know, did he impede the goalkeeper? No. Was it over the bar? They felt it wasn't. Was he in the square? They didn't feel it, but or they didn't think he was. But for me, on first glance, I thought he was in the square. But I don't know what the new rules. I think in football, I know you can certainly follow the ball in and be there. I don't know whether it qualifies in the hurling. We don't have any referee on it with us today, but maybe that's the one for my buddy from Tipperary, Fergal Horgan. I said the next time.
It's always interesting to see that whenever any of the colleges do well, Mark, you know, the Twitter, you know, it erupts on Twitter about the justification for having them in the county championship. I see a few of my friends on Twitter tweeting about it as well. And I was fortunate enough to be involved with UCD up in Dublin and when I was in college, and it was the same thing. It was, they shouldn't be in the Dublin championship. And you know, when you get on a bit of a roll, no one wants you in it. And when you're getting hidings, nobody minds you being in it at all, you know. Now obviously there's a strong history with UCC in the Cork County Championship that goes back, you know, for a long time, and it's much more accepted, you know, whereas when UCD came into it up in Dublin, we weren't so welcomed, I suppose, in a lot of ways. But
I think maybe if they brought in a rule that they hadn't played up to the quarter final, they couldn't play. Because Cadell, JK Brackens were senior in Tip, Shane Conway's a senior hurler with Lixnaw, you know, it probably would rule him out as well. And then you probably wouldn't be competitive. I know in Dublin, just before my time going up there, UCD were starting to dominate at Brian. Yeah. You know, Babs used to be the manager and he'd have Nicky in coach, and of course the late great Dave Billings was the overseer of all things GAA in and what an absolute gas man, no real character. And they met Vincent's, his own club, in the county final one of the years, and his own son Cahill was cornerback, could have been better probably centre back than anything, but the UCD's most lethal forward at the time from Tommy Vara was Paddy O'Brien. But Dave ruthlessly put Paddy in on top of the son, who proceeded, I think, to score 3-2 off him. I don't think the wife talked to Dave for a week after. Like, and I think within 2 years, UCD were gone out of the Dublin Championship, Brian.
We had. I remember that day, Dalo. Actually, because I heard the abuse that Dave got from his own club.
They'll all be over in the shed side of Parnell Park.
Parnell Park is tight at the best of times, you know. Yeah, so you can easily have a quiet word with the lads on the sideline. There was nothing quiet about what they were roaring, and look, Dave is well able to give it back. But it was an eye opener. These are lads that are supposed to be his own clubmates, but Yeah, I remember. I remember going up playing matches, and Dave kind of warning us beforehand that this could get tasty because there's no one is, you know, no one's too happy to see you coming, kind of thing. The culture is coming up for the, you know, to play the matches and that. But actually, look, Dave was incredible, you know, in terms of driving the GA forward, and you know, once he was behind the team, that was it. But yeah, we had a couple of great days. Obviously, we had Stephen Lucy from Limerick, and you know, was driving, you know, was a big name at the time for us, and Brendan Murphy from Offaly and Paddy.
Nearly won a Leinster club, Brian, didn't you?
Yeah, they were beaten by Ballycallan the year before, just as I was coming into college up in Nolan Park. I remember that. And I think Ballycallan, that might have been the year they went on to the Club All-Ireland and got beaten by Athenry. That was a great match. And then, yeah, 2 years I was involved. You're speaking about double, you know, two bites of the cherry. We were beaten by James Stevens and we were county champions that year, beaten in the county semi-final. And then they went on to the Leinster final and I got another crack at them and we were beaten by a controversial point, let's put it like that. So that kind of, that really knocked the stuffing out of me, and they went on and won the Club All-Ireland, I think, that year.
Did Lax or anyone remind you, like, coming down the stretch that you were going to be beaten twice by the village, like?
No, he knew better than to mention it, although he wouldn't be shy about telling you. But to be fair to him, he kept that one, you know, to himself. But it came up alright, a couple of points with a few points in it about that controversial point. But there you go, there was a case in point, I suppose, where I had a crack in the county championship and then another crack in the provincial. But
Jesus. But look, Rocky's in the final, and the Landers tip going well there. One more hurdle now. Yeah, we know
they could be going halfway now, I'd say, by Sunday.
Yeah, and look, later on that night, we had Shani McGrath and we had Ronan Curran, like, and you know, they did point out, I think Curran was really strong, I suppose Shani maybe couldn't say too much with the Glen involved, just they could be rusty, I think it had 4 weeks probably, and they certainly were rusty, Mark. They were sluggish all over the field, and their forwards were very slow to get going, I felt.
They were, and in fairness to Richie Kelleher on the Glen's Island, didn't wait around. He substituted two of his forwards at half time and brought in Paddy Cunningham and Mark Dooley, who had a big influence in the game. And as was, you know, no different than Fergal Ryan in his camp, that he'll have a few big decisions to make as to who he starts on Sunday. I think Richie Kelleher and his management team will have a few fellas that are putting up their hand to see. I could see Dooley starting on Sunday, and I think Conor Doris, who was taken off at half time, possibly start because his record in finals has been good. Like, again, won the 2015 and 2016 final. They were beaten last year by Ian McKinley, and they probably would be disappointed with the performance. They didn't play that well on the day, but they'll be really, really up for this one, Dale. And I think you're right, and the lads were right about the four-week break. They're certainly, like, AM Zone came out of the traps, and the form that they showed against Sars in the quarter-final, they continued with it, and they took the game to them. And to be fair to Robbie O'Flynn, just to mention him, he had an outstanding game on Saturday night now, and great from a Cork perspective, that all the lads that were hurling, that all the fellas involved with Cork were excellent. But like at the third water, at the break, the third, we said the three-quarter stage now is what we call it, like, Zone was still two points up, and they got a great goal just before. But I think Aaron Zone, the biggest issue that Aaron Zone had was they lost James O'Flynn, the man who made a great save or the great hook on Liam Healy in the quarterfinal, and they also lost Stephen Cronin, and they lost Shane Murphy in advance. They'd be three of the better six backs, so I think that probably hurt them in the end, Anthony. But you'd have to great credit to the Glen that they hung in. Like, they get 7 points in the last quarter, which is a massive return in any 15 great. Minutes.
And they showed maturity, I thought, as well. You know, they didn't panic, like, and that's from being around. But I will say with James O'Flynn as well, he had started really well at centre-back, hadn't he? On Hoggy, Hoggy had picked off a point or two, but he still had five or six good clearances made, and Jesus, to lose a fella like that, your centre-back at club level,
It's a pity, because he's a guy that I'd be looking for going forward now from an intercounty, because he's big, he's abrasive, he has plenty pace. He's a guy that you could actually work with, I think, definitely. But he was a huge loss to Aaron Zone, and his form coming into the game was excellent as well. And but look, you'd have to give credit to the Glen. Like, I mean, as you just mentioned, they never panicked. The concern, I suppose, in some respects, is they got 22 points, they got no goal, and Shea Bonin goals for Aaron Zone wasn't really troubled over the hour either. So, like, I think to win any county final, even though your friends in Six Mile Bridge won a county this year. I don't think they registered any goal at all during the whole course of the championship. So, I mean, that's a remarkable stat they got no goal in the championship. But, you know, it'll be great to see the Rockies and the Glen in the final, Anthony. It's just the pity is, like there was only 5,500 people at the county final last year. There could be 15 or 20,000 people would go to the county final. See, and a lot of neutrals, Waterford and the Tip Border and stuff like that. Like, you know, I suppose Conway, Shane, just to mention Shane Conway from Kerry, he has lit up the championship in Cork as well this year, just to give him a mention. He was absolutely magnificent in the semi-final on Saturday night against the Rockies. But, you know, it is what it is. We have to just get on with it. But it's a great credit due to Kevin O'Donovan and Ronan Dewan and the new structures that are formed of the championship that you've come out with probably the two best club teams in Cork at the moment. And it is going back kind of 30, 40 years to the old days, you know, the Glendaveers and the Rockies. You now have two of the top three, we say, from years gone by, are in the county final. And that will capture the imagination in Cork City and County this year.
Is the final in Denmark?
Sorry? This Sunday, TJ. Yeah. So it's, you know, I saw Richie Keller speaking there during the week, like, you know, it's 4 weeks since the last match, and now they have to play a semi-final and a final within a week. But look, I think they take it at the start of the year. Like, go back, Les, when we first started on the podcast, we were having no championship. And now you're down to a county final. Like, and a lot of county finals played all over the country, TJ. Yourself included, you're going to be pucking the ball next Sunday.
And I see the bookies are making the Glen favourites, Mark, as 1-2 or whatever. So BlackRock's still a little bit of the outsiders. That's kind of the way they're seeing
it. Look, the Glen, to be fair, once Emmy Killey were knocked out of the championship, the Glen assumed the favouritism immediately. And they were coming in, we said they were the best ranked team after the group games and they went straight to the semi-final. Now, there was a question, and Dale, you brought it up, whether it was an advantage or a disadvantage getting to the semi-final directly or not. So, look, that'll be something the fellas will be looking at next year. Do you want to be the top ranked team or not? I think possibly getting to the semi-final, and if the draw works out for you, I mean, I think it's a help, but there'll be other teams that'll say, look, having a quarter-final game is a help as well. I think you live and die by the results, really, at the end of the day.
Mark, and do you know the way, sorry, Tate, just they lost two of their half-back line in zone, and in fairness to Brian Mylan and Rob Downey, they thundered in the last 20 minutes of the game.
Brian Mylan is the, I'd say he's probably the best club hurling after playing for Cork, in my opinion. He's been centre-back on that Glen team for years, and he's been rock-solid at centre-back. He's a fantastic club hurler. But I tell you, Downey and David Noonan on the other wing, they're a serious halfback line, Anthony. They're really, really good now. Dave Noonan would have played minor and under 21 for Cork. I suppose didn't break into the senior team, but he still has a bit of time in his side if the selectors wanted to give him a call. But Downey is the common defender, in my opinion, in Cork. I could see him playing at centre-back in the senior team this year, Anthony, and he's a big, abrasive young fellow with plenty of pace.
He's a massive man, isn't he?
Oh, he is. He's a big, big guy, but he has hurling as well to go with it. And, but just to mention the three of them, Brian Mylan as well, like, that half-back line will be formidable. But I tell you, Black Rock have the two O'Keefe, Shane and Mark and Kieran Carmack. They're all 6'2", 6'3". And, you know, Brian, you're on the pod today, Brian, and I go back to the semi-final. I think it was O'Loughlin's and Dixborough played and Henry Shefflin and Jackie mentioned the fact the size of the Dixborough team versus the size of the O'Loughlin's team. Both of them fancy Dixborough because of their physicality. And I think the one thing that Black Rock will bring to the final next Sunday, Anthony, will be massive, massive physicality. They're the biggest club team in Cork without question at the moment.
Yeah, is there a little thing there? I just watched both now, and of course the coverage stayed on, great coverage with the Examiner and Co-op Superstores, and the scenes of jubilation from the Rockies subs and mentors. And if now I know it was an epic, and they looked like they were going to lose it most of the way through, and they haven't been in the final in quite a while, I suppose, and haven't been winning a championship in a long, long time. But then the Glen, like at the final whistle, they just touched elbows with their opponents, and you could sense there was that little bit of down. And even Richie Kelleher's interview today in the paper, we wouldn't be happy with that at all. And no, you couldn't say Black Rock were outstanding either on the day. Is there an advantage one way or another based on last Saturday?
Well, I think BlackRock had, you know, they've had to deal with St. Michael's being involved in the football championship as well. So they haven't had a clear run to the champ. You know, they've had that situation where they've had BlackRock one weekend, St. Michael's the other weekend, and that has been happening for the last kind of 12 weeks. So St. Michael's were beaten the week before last, which probably only just gave them 5 days or 6 days with their team. They'll have the same this week. But you'd have to say that UCC probably were the better team over the hour. And, you know, being 3 points down, Anthony, and to get, you know, 5 of the last 6 points over the last 5 minutes, like, when you think of it, there was that's massive, like. And I think they had brought on 5 subs during the course of the game, took off Michael O'Halloran, a big, you know, the best forward from the quarterfinal against Douglas. So you'll give great credit to the lads on the sideline. And as well as that, BlackRock togged out 30 players as well. They had a full panel of players, so their intermediate lads were involved in them as well. And you could hear the sideline. Now, I know there was only one sideline in it because UCC wouldn't have a massive following, but they were very, very boisterous. And the mentors, the supporters and the subs were all in the one kind of area over together. So there was massive jubilation. And, you know, to win any match by a point and to get back to the county final is... But maybe on the Glen side...
I think on the Glen side, you'll see a fair bit more of that. First time meeting each other since 78.
Yeah.
Glen will be up for this one, like...
And I don't know whether you saw the examiner this morning, but there was Dennis Collin had a great Glen and St. Nick's footballer had a piece on, and I was enthralled. I'd never heard the story before, and I was just saying, it was guessed that it's coming this week, you know, before the Glen go to the county final. It's a brilliant bit of reading in today, like, about stuff that happened back in 69 and 70. It was incredible, like, you know. But this is going to be a fascinating final, Anthony. And Anthony, before we finish, the one fellow I hope the referee is Cathal McAllister. I'm really, because we've been watching the Kilkenny stuff, we've been watching the Tipperary county matches, right? I think Cork really, really needs a massive final, and I have a feeling that if Cathal McAllister will get that match, it's going to be a cracker.
Just, there was a stage Saturday night when I thought Simon Stokes, I thought the P was stuck in the whistle like that. He didn't blow for nothing.
Well, that's good. Look, there certainly is a change in the refereeing standards. I would have to say that, you know, Joe Larkin, Simon Stokes and Cathal McAllister, and I was actually at the semi-final of the senior A between Farrer and Ease and Noosestown, which got fairly testy, and Mark Maher ref that game as well, and he was getting fair stick from the sideline, I can tell you now, from both sides. But he just left it play on, and I think it'll take a couple of years for this to bed in, that sidelines will have to realise this game is getting a bit more physical, lads. Stop looking for freeze and get on with the game.
TJ, there's a great old statement there that success leaves clues. And Mr. Hogan seemed like the way they played it and the way the matches reputedly were refereed in training. I can go back to Mr. Lucknane as well, like, he didn't blow too often. Okay. And I suppose the Cork boys are learning from that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Mark spoke about it earlier in the year. Dylan, did I see something there on the WhatsApp on the side bit? You know, from Mark here coming down the track with Glenn and BlackRock. Is there a pint on at the weekend or a night out? Or I don't know. I saw something anyway.
Yeah, well, I just keep an eye on the overall bit, and I keep an eye on Yee to Win Galway. I keep an eye on Nemo, I think, and Castle Lions. I think we're home and hoes, are we?
Okay, right, okay. Go collect.
And it's the Landers bet as well. The rest of us went down.
Yeah,
like,
the rest of us went down. Yeah, no.
You put in a lot of the gales, yeah. Kenny, didn't you?
I have a confession to make. Hoagie's getting the blame this morning.
Sorry about that, TJ.
Well, I suppose two things. It was definitely like how anybody who thinks he knows anything about hurling could leave out Billy Hale. That was definitely a moment of madness. But
you're looking for value, TJ.
I was looking for a bit of value. I saw something in the Loch and Gales earlier on. I was reading the reports of their games, but it just wasn't to be. The semi-final didn't happen for them, and they didn't get there. So, yeah.
Hoagie was like half the lot of the bet TJ done, like.
I was looking for the value, yeah, I was.
Well, we have Coola up, and we have Ballyhale up, and we have Na Piarsaigh up. So, we're waiting now on St. Thomas's, Castlelines, and Nemo.
That's not bad, I tell you, by the whole country, it'll be ringing us in the next week or two to know how we fix. So where's the party on?
Where's the party? Yeah.
The party has to be in Killa now. That's the thing, like. And well, just no on, well, while we're talking all things Cork, you retained your senior status.
We did.
Over the weekend.
We did. Oh, skin of the teeth stuff. In fairness to the players now, they really dug it out. And the funny thing is, it seems that after the we had a touch with the coronavirus, unfortunately, and the game was put off, Anthony, a couple of weeks ago, with a player, unfortunately, who'd went down with it, and he wasn't involved yesterday, or his brother wasn't involved either. Neither of the two of them played, and we led 2-7 to 3 points at the first water break, went 10 points up, and I say everybody that was at the game said, poor hat in the mouth, we're grand now here. And next of all, as the game went on, it got more tense, more tight, scores coming in at plenty. And then we're 4 points up, a time up, and Kilwork got a 21-yard free, 10 fillers in the goal to save, with something poked at home, down to a point, 3 or 4 more minutes of extra time, you can just imagine the enthralling thing. But look, scraped over the line, won it by a point, and just, you know, I suppose hoping just to get back under, get the lads back under, get them back into form next year, I suppose, really, like, you know, just didn't, the pandemic didn't suit them this year, and I think a lot of fellas, you know, might have suffered from the COVID storm during the break and the lockdown, so, but it, yeah, retained their status, and just had to re-evaluate things now and get back on the horse next year.
Mac, I have a family connection with Kilworth. My brother-in-law, Massey Mac, was playing cornerback for Kilworth yesterday, and the word that I had heard was that you pulled a stroke there a couple of weeks ago, that you weren't ready for the relegation final, that your numbers in training were very, very slack, that you had a little couple of things and you got the stroke pulled. You have connections in the county board, of course. Got the game, got the game pushed out, and that won you today.
Come here.
Am I saying what the last thing Kilworth was saying?
Like, I tell you, in fairness, you know, every weekend you come on with a gag, and that's the best one of all, I can tell you.
Am I just saying what
I said? Don't go any deeper into that. Don't go any deeper into that. Lads, we had a lot to try and take in yesterday. I was in Cusick Park. I was half listening to you, TJ, because Michal Donoghue was in Kinney Park. So we were getting, they were going from him to me, myself and Marty, and himself and Brian Carthy. So we were keeping up to date with GRIs. And of course, we couldn't watch the Kilkenny final live because we're on duty. So I watched it about 10:30 last night, Brian. The Sky Plus worked. I was afraid of my life it wouldn't. But after watching the semi finals, Brian, I couldn't, I give Dixburg a right shout, I have to say, you know. Yeah. And I wondered, was the loss of Adrian Mullen and Mick Finlay beginning to tell that James Stevens, like, unprecedented stuff, like the 9 points in a row. And, you know, I said, geez, this Dixburg team look very balanced and everything. And if someone told me 5-19 to 1-10, I'd have given them the docket we're holding here for the bet. You know?
Yeah.
Incredible performance.
Unbelievable. I was up in the club, my own club, yesterday morning, and we were just chatting about a few of the lads, and we were all kind of in agreement. Like, obviously, Ballyhale were favourites, but we were giving the Borough every chance. Thought, like, the athleticism, the hurling ability they have, you know, and they've been, they had the experience there, having won it a couple of years ago, and obviously with Killian there, you know, the linchpin in the defence. I gave them every chance, and I thought it was going to be a right match. But incredibly, for a team that's had so much success over the last decade, the Ballyhale were the hungrier team. They just hit every rook. They hounded, they harassed the Borough. They turned over the Borough defence for the first goal. You know, they looked like the team that were seeking their first county final in a couple of years. You know, they ground Dixburg out. I think Dixburg just didn't know what hit them. You know, they just suffocated them. And obviously then with the hurling ability they have, I mean, the firepower that Ballyhale have, everyone knows. You know, I think they had their spread of scores. They had 10 different players scored. You know, so it's not a case, as is always the case when you play them, it's never a case of just minding TJ or minding Colin or minding Henry as it was back in the day, because feck it, they come from all angles, you know.
Like James Stevens, almost beat them, as we all know. The two boys contributed 2-8 between them. Obviously, Colin did most of the scoring of that 2-8, but TJ set up most of that 2-8. Yesterday, they held them to 1-2. From play. Now, I know TJ was very, very instrumental, and
yeah.
I suppose Colin got the goal. I suppose that really finished the contest in lots of ways, but yes, they still scored 5-19, like.
But that's it. I mean, I don't know how many times Owen Reid has popped up over the years, you know, with 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, and Owen is laid back. He's as horizontal as they come. You know, you talk to him off the pitch, and it's nearly a struggle for him to talk to you. Well, you know, but Jesus, he's always on the end of things. You know, he's a pure finisher. He's exactly what you want from a corner forward. He's always in the right place at the right time and just getting the sneak on the ball into the back of the net, you know, and he's been doing it for years. You know, and then obviously you have the younger brigade coming through, you know, you've Owen Cody and Brian Cody, who all chipped in, you know, I think they chipped in with 1-1 each, you know, and then you had Ronan Corker in the midfield there with 3 points.
3 points.
You had Paddy Mullen there, a wing back, you know, who got a point. Joe Cuddihy, you know, with a point himself. Conor Walsh comes off the bench, gets a point. Derek Corker gets, you know, the other midfielder, or wing back. So you had two wing backs scoring a point. You had Richie Reid in the middle, you know, pulling the strings, just spraying the ball around the field. And it's just their use of ball. And you know, you consider that they didn't even have the young hurler of the year playing. You know, you hadn't got Adrian Mullen playing. And, you know, I've no doubt club sides were saying, right, they're vulnerable. They're coming off the back of a club All-Ireland. They're missing the Adrian Mullen, who's arguably their marquee forward now almost. You know, he's the up-and-coming guy. You know,
but, Big Finlay.
Yeah, look, years ago, I remember when I was playing, you know, and Cha, you know, was taking a couple of years out, and you're saying, oh, you know, they're missing Cha now. They might be a bit vulnerable. Or, you know, maybe Fenno was carrying a few injuries and wasn't at 100%. Or, you know, TJ did the knee there 1 year. And, Jesus, it doesn't matter. You know, they have so much firepower. They have as much firepower as most counties, you know, and as a club side. And it just... I think I mentioned the last time I was on, the longer it goes in the championship, the harder they are to beat. You need to hit them early. You know, that's the time to get them. When they get to a county final, like, to be able to have the level of hunger that they have, you know, after all they've won. And they just, you know, the experience they have, you know, and they're just, you know, albeit it wasn't a contest in the second half, you know, and I'm sure it was devastating for Dixborough, you know, because there's very little you can take from that match, you know, 21-point drubbing, but you have to sit back and just admire the way that Ballyhale used the ball and he just sprayed it, you know, and constantly going for the killer punch, you know.
And Henry gone as well, Brian. I would have thought that might have been some little bit of an effect, but obviously not.
You know, from the Borough's perspective, I think they I don't think they performed. They didn't bring the level of intensity, the level of work rate they needed to. Ballyhale bossed things, you know, and... you know, even you know, we're talking about their forwards. I thought Joey was immense at fullback and has been immense throughout the championship. Like he's so calm. He's so calm. He popped up in the semi-final with a point. You know, from fullback. You know, the freedom he's hurling with. He just goes forward and Darren Mullen beside him as well. You know, tons of hurling, but just rock steady. You know, even in the last couple of minutes of the game, you know, a couple of high balls going in and it was Joey coming out, catching him, coming out, just doing the simple things. You know, and launching another attack. Thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, TJ Reid, obviously, he's just off the charts. The number of Man of the Match awards that he's got in the last 3 or 4 years, as I'd say, must be a record at this stage. And his consistency. Like I said, we had this argument at home. Like in terms of he's still playing, I know, but sure, he must be rated right up there at the very top now in terms of all the big names in hurling for what he's
doing. Yeah, and you can argue that almost the centre forward position has become the most critical position for teams in terms of how they set out their style of play. Yeah. You know, and we mentioned it, I think, the last time I was on. Yeah. And I think Henry was asked about it by Ricey on the TG4. And when you get a guy like TJ, you know, who's very unselfish, you know, he can drop out the field and he can it's within his range to pop balls over the bar from 80 yards. But even apart from that, his vision. He can cut a defence open, you know, from out the field. You just can't allow him out the field and start picking up balls. So then, what do? Do you follow him out and leave a gaping, you know, hole in the middle of the defence? Do you sacrifice one of your corner forwards to come out and pick him up, you know, drop a man out, and then you're drawing Ballyhale onto you? I've seen that time and time again where you try and play a sweeper against Ballyhale, which is a recipe for disaster because you're just drawing them onto you then. They're too good a hurlers. They'll use the ball. They won't lump balls in on top of a sweeper. So, you know, when you've got a guy like TJ there, you know, just pulling the strings is so experienced. It really is, it's a difficult thing, you know, and you've got a player the calibre of Killian Buckley who, you know, we saw in the semi-final and I was at the quarter-final. The Borough launched a lot of their attacks from working the ball out of defence, short passing, getting the ball into Killian's hands, and then he's coming out looking up and pinging the balls, you know, on the side, almost like a quarterback. He was under so much pressure yesterday in terms of what he needed to do to try and hold TJ and whether, you know, he didn't know what he could do. And they just avoided him. You know, Ballyhale just, you know, negated his influence, you know, brilliantly. And
But you said, Brian, he's an exceptionally intelligent player as well. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've been at the end of a right struggling club heart from Ballyhale as well, right? So you leave your centre back sit, right? Then you get somebody to pick up TJ Reid, man mark him around the middle of the field, and the next thing TJ Reid's a corner forward, and you're saying, oh jeez, you know what I mean? Like, so he does that moving around, he makes it very, very difficult. Yeah.
And like he dropped out, and it was very obvious in the first 15 minutes, you know. Ballyhale were more than happy to drop bodies into that middle part of the field and make it really congested and, you know, back themselves. And they're physically a big team, you know, they're not afraid to mix it. And when you've got Colin inside on his own, you know, and you just have Rio Owen just floating around as he does, the ball sticks. You know, the first ball that went in there, I think between Colin and Evan Cody, I think it was Evan cleared it, but Colin was on his knees, kind of his hands up to the ref saying, Jesus, ref, like, you know, he was hanging out to me. I think it was the next ball or the one after came in, he won it, he took him on, you know, he hung it in the back. Just his power, you know. He was able to muscle. And he, you know, and Evan Cody is no slouch. But it's just, when you've got a guy that's that physically strong, and we're actually talking about it again, it was part of the conversation in the club, you can't hurl Colin from behind. You nearly just have to back yourself and trust yourself to attack the ball from the front. Because if you get into a wrestling match with Colin, there's only one winner. And that was the case there yesterday, you know. They left him inside, and they know that they can deliver the ball in angled balls into the corner. Colin, with the speed he has and the strength, If he doesn't win it cleanly, he'll hold it up, and the brigade is coming in. The support brigade is coming in at pace. Then, you know, so it's, they have it. You know, they have it all.
Brian, a new coach there, James O'Connor, had big boots to fill there. We know James very well down here. He won a county senior with Kerry Toole in 2011. They were 101 outsiders to win it. And last year we'd have seen him. He was involved with Father O'Neill's, coached him to get to the All Ireland Club Final, beaten in a narrow game against Tullerone.
Yeah.
And now has won a county in Belly, well, and filling the boots of Henry Shefflin. Like, come on, I mean, isn't it just incredible? Would you know much about James and how has he gone down in Ballyhale?
Well, I don't know a huge amount of James aside of obviously, you know, his work with Father O'Neill's, and he came on the radar for me last year with Tullerone. But like, you hit the nail on the head, Mark. Like, to come into a club that's had so much success as Ballyhale, you know, what do you do? Like, how do you, you can't go in and reinvent the wheel, because whatever they're doing is working, you know. And I know when Henry came in, you know, one of the, I suppose, challenges for him was, you know, with a lot of the younger players, was trying to, you know, channel, let's say, that ability in the right direction. You know, the lads down the South boys in Kilkenny are, you know, they're wild lads, you know, and they like to enjoy themselves, you know. And, you know, I suppose Henry would have had respect straight from the outset, you know, and he would have used the likes of Mick Fenno and TJ and Colin to lead from within the group, you know. But right. James coming in from outside, you know, probably would have had to manage that as well. And I'm sure he was, you know, he would have been, you know, aware, obviously he was aware of the ability and the talent there, but, you know, you have to give him huge credit. And I think they referenced it, one or two of them in the interview, how I think he came in from the outset and said, look, I'm not trying to change, you know, reinvent the wheel or change anything. I think I can make a few tweaks that can make you potentially even better, but, you know, what you're doing is working. And, you know, he came in and was clearly able to connect with the lads, which is a huge thing, you know, made a connection with them, and, you know, they hurled for him, you know.
Yeah, I spoke to him after the semi-final game. We saw the James Stevens game on the television, like, and you know, that could have went anywhere. Like, and I just said to him, I said, James, was your heart in your mouth with the last 4 or 5 minutes? He said, no. I said, in actual fact, it was the calmest I've ever been. I said, why is that? Because, Mark, I know of players on the field that have been in this situation many, many times before, and it was just a case of getting the opportunity and get the right people on the ball at any one time. He said, I was never more confident that we'd actually see out the game. I said, James, I was watching television, I had to see to the stuff, or see to your pen stuff, like, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, he's a massive, massive pedigree already, like, winning a senior in Cork with Kerry Toole, and last year, yes, I mean, he would have been involved with Killa, actually, the year we beat UCC right. and beat Douglas, so he's a very, very good coach, very smart individual, and has a great future ahead of him.
Yeah, and when, you know, as well, when you think about, you know, coming off the back of the All-Ireland, Henry stepping away, Fenno stepping away, you know, big characters, they draw against Tullerone in the first round of the league. They get a bit of a, you know, a good beating off us. I think it was 7 or 8 points we beat them by. Your first two matches, you know, you're kind of going, you know. But, you know, knowing Ballyhale, they'll never panic. They'll never press the panic. But, you know, but he was able to keep things ticking along, knowing that you know, it's all about timing. You time this right with the lads, they'll look after the rest of it, you know. And
He actually said that to me, because I rang him after those two early matches as well, and I said, James, I said, you must be distraught. I said, you know, all of a sudden the best team in the country without. He said, yeah, he said, I am, but he said the players and the people in the club, he said, no, James, don't panic now. Don't panic. We'll be fine. We'll be fine, James. We'll only really start to get going now from here on in. That's exactly how it. And he said, yes,
I wouldn't like to have you ringing me the Monday or Tuesday after a fucking defeat. Anyway, it depressed you over talking about Henry Shefflin and things are going bad. And Jesus, TJ, does he be ringing you there? You're winning all your matches anyway. You're lucky.
Lucky at the moment today. Yeah.
We'll be ringing him next. I hope he won't be ringing him next Monday morning, Della.
We'll get him. He's promised us 20 minutes next Monday morning. Win, lose, or draw. But Cogi, one other thing, and a couple of other little things, right? The Borough completely misfiring, I suppose.
Yeah.
First point from play, 33rd minute. Three subs on by half time, three of the forwards gone. And possibly their man of the match, Darragh Holohan inside and goal, who conceded five goals. There could have been four more goals scored only for him.
Completely. I mean, I think two of the starting forwards scored. You know, Shane Stapleton scored under a seven frees. And I think Bill Sheen was the only one that scored from play. Evan Carroll, who was a back, got the point. And Andrew Gaffney, who came on as a sub, got 1-1. So you know, when you compare that to Ballyhale and the spread of scores that they had, you know, in terms of 10 players, 2 years starting forward scoring, they just... And I suppose one of the strengths for them all year was their half-forward line and the athleticism they had and that direct running style, which I thought could potentially cause Ballyhale a bit of trouble, you know. But they never... Obviously, the loss of Aidan Nolan was huge for them. You know, he's great, a super player. But... Ballyhale just, you know, sucked them up. You know, we're more than happy to you know, eat them up. And they created that kind of, congested that whole middle third of the field. So there was never an opportunity for the Borough to get a bit of steam and run at them. You know, just, they really made it, got bodies around, really made it a dogfight, and they won more dirty ball, were more than happy to go into the trenches, as they say. And the Borough just didn't bring that kind of, you know, you compare it to the Village, you know, the Village, James Stevens in the semi-final, the level of work rate, the level of intensity that they brought, they were able to cause Ballyhale some problems, you know, whereas the Borough never brought that to the table, you know. And if you have any chance at all against Ballyhale, you really need to make it, you know, uncomfortable for them and you know, dogfight and run at them, you know, and it never happened.
Yeah, I think probably that helped Ballyhale as well, though, that the Village did that to them as well. And I think that's the way it might go on Cork as well, with Glen Rovers getting the little kick in the arse Saturday night, like, you know, that they'll come out now fired up over their heads, like, to win it. And come here, the only last thing, Huggy, on it, and you seem to be getting them all the ducks back in a row in terms of the county team now with Adrian Mullen coming on. But come here, the ominous thing for club hurling down there is now they don't have to face into a Leinster and All-Ireland club campaign. Like, they probably have 6 months off now or more to freshen up the bodies again. Like, so.
Yeah, but the only thing I'm hoping now is, TJ mentioned the COVID stone, is maybe the post-COVID stone is maybe they enjoy you too much over the winter, maybe come back and give the rest of the clubs a chance. But it's unlikely, like Mark has mentioned it, like they only target one thing, you know, and they're able to do it. You know, most clubs always look to build up a momentum and steam and, you know, and try and build up through the league. These wise, if they get to a league final, well and good, but it's all about championship. It's all and beyond, you know, and they're able to do it, you know. So, it is. But look, that's next year. There's a lot can happen between now and then, you know.
Yeah, and we've spoken a lot on the show about the split season and there is a kind of a view swinging around out there now, TJ, that maybe it'd be better go with the club early. But I'd say if they do go the split season next year, they'd go into county first. For next year, like, that they wouldn't maybe take that nuclear option for next year, like, because we don't know how we're going to get with this winter All Ireland yet. Like, I mean, you could be going up to the Ireland semi-finals if you're lucky enough to be there or doing some bit of commentary or whatever we're doing, you know, and it could be -4, like, you know, and so there might be an element of let's go county first, lads, but maybe let's have it finished by the 31st of July or whatever.
That seems to be the way, and that's the sound bites that we're getting. And I suppose, look, we've had them before with the club championship. This has been a massive success for the players, and there was been time with their club. But I was going to say, where does a club championship for the clubs in fit in, Dale? Is that the back end of that? Is it? Are they going to try and get it all punched into 1 year?
The last 5 months of the year, then, August, September, October, November.
All the way to All-Ireland club, Mark?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so, yeah. TJ. I'd say the way they're thinking is All-Ireland hurling final, maybe second last Sunday in July, football final following week, and then you're into your club and you run your club straight through. You know the way last year, sure they brought it down, as you know yourself, brought it down to the end of January, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, whichever way it goes, it's definitely the way forward. Like, there's no doubt from my talking to people all around different counties is they want this. They want the club season to be condensed. They want to run off together. They want to focus on it. You've got matches every 1, 2, or 3 weeks, whatever. That's what people want, and I think that's the future. And that's what I think, even as a manager or a coach, being involved in a team, like kind of condensing it down to a 6 or 7 month period rather than having it drawn out all year, trying to play a match in April and getting going again in August and trying to play a club final in November, just madness. Like,
yeah,
I spoke with Dale, I spoke with Owen Cadigan over the weekend. He was walking around Kill, actually, he's living in Kill at the moment. And I said to him, Owen, how did you find the club championship this year? He said, for the first time in a decade, he said, I really love the club championship. He said, a couple of things, he said, was you're back with your teammates on a full-time basis and have no inter-county manager dragging out of you. That was the first thing. The second thing was that, he said, instead of, you know, waltzing in a week after an inter-county game, coming to play a club championship match, and then players looking at him saying, well, geez, here's my man back now after 3 months away, and he's calling the shots inside in the dressing room. He said, like, the club, in fairness to the club for the playing into county, they do feel that. And he said, going forward, he said, it has to be a split season. But he was thrilled that he could give a massive commitment to his club. And we've got to listen to the players. This is going to have to happen sooner rather than later.
That's the general consensus. And Delo, I think there would have been a question mark, certainly on a lot of people, as to could a club championship deliver the quality, the entertainment, for the general view out there. And I think that has been emphatically answered, that definitely it is there.
Yeah. Yes. I'll go back to Owen Cadigan's point, and no one can disagree that has been a success. So just on the other side of that, Mark, I can remember coming back to Clarecastle dressing rooms and saying, the state-y, like, and I, after doing a heavy week, maybe after Clare losing, like, I said, did you do any bit of training for the winter? Like, so it wasn't always coming back in, doing the big chaw on it. Like, it was more of a case of lads, like, you know what I mean? Is it knockout this year or is it a league basis? Because we could do it on a league basis with the state of somebody, like.
Yeah.
So, look, TJ, Ballyhale have set the bar with the 3 in a row, and you scraped over the line yesterday. Now the Turlochmore crowd will be saying that you rang me this morning to tee it up, like, but you got there.
We did. The dream is still alive. So back in the third final. Yeah, look, I suppose first of all, I have to give plenty of credit to Capitagle, and this isn't just being that you think is coming down the track here, Dello. They have lost.
It is just to clarify this now.
They're just an incredible team. I've watched them over the last 2 or 3 years. Believe it or not, for people who don't know Capitagle, small area, very small place to pick a team from. They've been beaten in the last 4 semi-finals now by a cumulative total of 6 points, lost 3 of them by the bare minimum, which is very, very hard to take. And a team has never been in the final before. So the hunger and drive and the work rate from those lads was just made it very difficult life for us. Like, they obviously, James Cahill would be their marquee player, and maybe Damien Joyce from a couple of years ago. The Mannions are very good. There's one of them there, Jam Mannion, and got a panel now and says a name that you could hear of maybe at the back end of the year, Alan Doan and Dan Nevin. So they're a very strong team. They made life very difficult for us in the second quarter. They dominated. We had a reasonably good start. We got 1-3, but after that we struggled for a while, and I credit them with that. But I suppose, like you said about the Glen, like Ballyhale before, we've got over the line. We are where we want to be. And look, I suppose I'll be out of philosophy all the time, the semi-finals are for winning.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Look, but TJ, can I just ask you, just trying to follow it and read about it this morning, and the Examiner, a nice piece about it this morning, but did they brought up James Cahill when they were a goal down, looking for a goal, obviously. You're not bringing up your goalie to tap over a pint, like. No, he blazed it and it went over.
Yeah. Well,
but did it look like they had to get a goal at that stage, where maybe if they they might have.
Yeah, it was a split decision. They got the point, obviously, from the free, right? So they had a free just outside the 21 where they stole 2 or 3 yards, and they made it just a 21-yard free, right?
How do you never allow that happen?
I don't know. But there was a little bit of indecision for them. Some people wanted it, but eventually he took it. There were 3 points down, and let's say the 60 was nearly up. But there was still 5 minutes, as we all know now, they go into 65, 66 minutes. So he ended up, like, he's got a very powerful shot. It's a big man. So it wasn't on target. It just blazed over the bar and brought it back to two. And I said shortly after that, they probably took a minute or a minute and a half out of the game and kind of slowed things down. Then they got the next score and brought it back to one. And, you know, then it was kind of a very, very tight finish. We kind of made a little bit of a hams at the last puck out, which gave them an opportunity from the sideline. And in fairness to him, and then he had a brilliant shot, which looked like I was on the line of it, looked like he was on target for a minute, just tailed at the very end and ball wide and game over. So, yeah, like, I suppose from their point of view, they probably felt at that stage, it's one of those master strokes there, or bring a goalie up, gets a goal. I mean, they would have been really in the driving seat with a couple of minutes to play, but they made the decision. But they still got a score out of it, which obviously kept them in the game.
Yeah, I think it was Dan Nevin scored the line ball and had, I think, Kevin Lally was interviewed, your manager there, and he just said he went over to him after the game in Otis. You'll probably be favourites, TJ. I know, in fairness, Turlochmore have been, you know, talked up for a lot with their underage success, and this is coming, and they have, you know, nearly two senior teams up there. They're a bit like Killadangan, maybe, or... You know, we spoke about BlackRock as well, the same situation. So it's very much, I'd say, without giving you license now to be talking yourselves down, it is 50-50 going into it. I think most people would feel that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I would imagine it'll be recognised even with the bookies before the week is out. Very strong team. Obviously, Dahi Burke will be their leader. He plays in the middle of the field for them as opposed to fullback. They have Ronan Burke at fullback, Jamie Holland. The Loftuses, Sean Linnan, the Walshes, they have plenty of players. I think they probably have five or six players in the Galway panel at the moment. So, irrespective of what I say, they are a formidable outfit. We had a very, very tough battle in the semi-final last year. We knew they were coming down the track. So, I'd say the general consensus in Galway Daily would be that the two best teams are in the final. Like, that's the general consensus. So, all to play for. 1 week turnaround for us. We came off a three-week break. Look, I'm hoping, a bit like that horse getting that nice little run, that will improve for us, a bit like the Glen, but let's see what happens. Tough battle coming down the track. As regards next Monday morning for the 20 minutes, if you get me, I'll give you the 20. No problem.
I'll make a few phone calls up around South Galway to see where you're staying next Sunday night, and we'll get you up to some, we'll get you to F1 somewhere or something like that. You could be having a cold pint bottle of cider in front of you.
Okay.
And talk away to us. We won't mind that. Will we, Larry? We won't mind that. No.
Once he doesn't wear the Liverpool hat, Dale, if that Liverpool hat comes on, forget about it.
No, he'd been blue and red. He'd been blue and red next week.
Dale, in case I forget to say it, I'd spore us in the last man standing here at work the weekend and again.
Poor old Jose.
Poor old Jose about it. They play brilliant.
They did actually.
This like if we bring VAR into hurling.
Into hurling.
You can freaking cancel this podcast anyway. And Brian Morgan, you'd never have won nothing, Brian, if it's VAR. You know,
Jesus, you know, God bless Hawkeye. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, he actually started it. Nick Quinn started it.
They had my bacon anyway.
Bubbles and Hawkeye. Yeah, lads. And, you know, regular... Well, look, TJ, we can only wish you the best of luck on behalf of the podcast crew here for next Sunday. You're delighted you won't be out in the wind and rain in Pearse Stadium. You're promised a heat wave for Athenry.
The final is fixed for Athenry next Sunday, which is great. I think Athenry is a brilliant venue for hurling games. Unfortunately, this year, no offense, but over the last couple of years, some of the great occasions have been there. Just before we leave Galway, just maybe a hat tip to Cara Finn. I know maybe not a supporter of football in this podcast in the past, but they got beaten for the first time in the weekend since 2012 in Galway, which is just a phenomenal achievement. They were going for one of their fourth or Ireland club final in a row. Just been a phenomenal team, I suppose. That was the big story or the big news in Galway the weekend.
Yeah, unbelievable. Hats off to them. They're some club. One of the things I read last week was the Pádraig Joyce's after bringing Gary Sykes back onto the Galway football panel. And I thought that's a great act of management. I said, you know, if the guy is good enough, he's fresh enough, it's a short run in, you'll have your couple of National League games and you're into the Connacht Championship, you know.
And one thing that's in Bernard Brogan's book at the moment, Dale, is he's a quoted as saying to Jim Gavin, "Don't judge me by my birth cert." I thought it was a great statement.
Yeah, but probably Galway mightn't be floating with Dean Rocks and yeah, fellas like that, you know. Bernard didn't do too bad out of it either, I suppose. Okay, TJ, we'll get you off for 20 minutes Monday. Hats off, lads, to a man like Brian that joins us regularly, Ken Hogan. Lads, is there any wily old fox around like Hogan? Everyone fancying this Boer team that destroyed Cool Derry, that destroyed Shinrón, and Reina's didn't do panic. I saw an interview with Johnny Dooley last night, who was obviously maybe doing co-commentary. And like, Offaly hurling has fallen off a cliff in lots of ways, Brian. But their club standard is still really competitive every year and good. Ken has some record. And now they've kicked Cormac Cullohy back again as well. And they have been maybe the last 5 or 6 years a team that have been done the most damage. So huge finals to look forward to there.
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose the launch I've had for any kind of future success for Offaly, you know, it needs to be a competitive club championship. And obviously they have a great history there with Reines and Burr and, you know, Cullohy, or, you know, in the more recent past, you know. But, you know, and I suppose being relatively close neighbours of ours, we would have always, you know, played the various teams in challenges. And Aidan Fogarty, who's a St. Reina's great and Offaly great, is, you know, has been heavily involved in our club for the last 20 plus years and being a coach of mine. And so we would have always ventured down there, you know, or they'd come up. Actually, I think Ken was only up there, was it last year with Reina's, and played us in a challenge. And so, yeah, I mean, they're at club level, they're always competitive, you know. Okay, it might have dipped from the highs of maybe 10 years ago, you know, or before with the likes of that great Burr team. But it's great to see, you know, those kind of teams. It was great to see Cullohy come back a couple of years ago and be competitive. And they put Ballyhale to the pin of their collar there one of the years, you know. And, you know, they need that. You know, I think Offaly hurling, you know, in general needs that kind of, you know, as much as any county, I suppose, a good competitive local championship. And it really kind of is a good launch to have, particularly this year, with a short season, you know. It's good, great preparation, you know, and it's, you know, it's a great lead-in for the inter-county side. And, look, obviously, Ken, you know, in his pedigree, you know, it's you know, I suppose it's only a stone's throw from his home place, you know, Laura there to you know, to into Offaly. And you know, kudos, it's great to see him, you know, kind of still, I suppose, you know, imparting the wisdom, you know, in Offaly.
Yeah, I was just saying to Larry last night there that obviously he didn't go over to celebrate or with the Killadangan boys or to do the Drown the Sorrows with his own lads on losing the Seamus O'Regan final last week. Marky, he focused totally on the job at hand for the following weekend. He's looking better now than when he was in goal, and that's no reflection on his goalkeeping now.
that was some victory now, and I think I was talking to Brian Whelan on another matter a couple of weeks ago, and I think Bear were in the final last year and they were disgusted to get beaten, and I said, look, the offence is, we said, we'd be hoping that we'd learn a bit from last year's final and that we'd be a little bit better. But he did point out that Ken Hogan was doing a massive job at St. Reina's, and that he said, it probably is a 50-50 game, but Reina's would be very, very hard to beat. And I said, they'll be disgusted that they're not back into the final this year.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks time, I think, very much one. A 50-50 one again, like maybe Galway. And lads, we leave the best to last this week. Obviously, the Clare Championship, like, you've produced the most Munster Club winners in the last 20 years and all that, you know.
Nobody, Davey?
Oh, my. Yep, look, it's Davey, myself, when we played together, we played two All-Irelands together. We won the two of them up. So that, I didn't lose any with Davey behind me. Like, you know, we made our debut together. And I tell you one thing, he has some connection of stuff won, lads.
Unbelievable.
You know, you could talk about Brian Cody and a senior All-Ireland, and that is obviously where you're judged ultimately. But by jeez, between Fitzgibbons, club championships, Leinster's, All-Ireland's with Clare, National League's with Clare.
Yeah, Munster championships with Waterford, Wexford, Clare. Phenomenal. He's unbelievable.
It's been everywhere he's gone, yeah. Yeah,
he's been hugely successful, in fairness, and he adds a bit of spice as well. That's the other thing as well, Dale. Like, he does, he really brings a bit of spice to the game, which is really lovely to see.
Yeah, like, look, to tell you the truth, like, I covered the Limerick final there last week, and I suppose the Clare final wasn't much better in terms of the game. It went, if you were to write a prediction piece for Saturday, I'd probably have said the bridge 5 or 6, and you know, that's the way it kind of, you know, turned out, maybe 8, but it kind of went along and they still didn't get a goal. They still set up sort of really solid with Cameron Morey as a kind of nearly a fourth full backline player. And but then that alone, Shane Amore, the speedster, the cornerback for Clare, but playing wing back, like he got inside the O'Callaghan's Mills half back line three times on runs of overlaps. And we've seen that as a trait with Wexford in the last couple of years as well, haven't we? With the Wexford wing forwards bombing forward, or wing backs bombing forward, and Bridge very much playing that game. And it bought in. Players don't care, lads. You know, if they're winning, you know. And the big thing for me then is the Mills just didn't have that quality of striker. Like Cathal Malone, county player, four from play. Jamie Shanahan, county player, two from play. They played Alex Morey's their free taker. He's a dead eye Dick free taker. Alan Mulready, Conor Farr, Brian Curry, two each from play. You know, so they just didn't have the spread of scores. And they were down six at half time. And after half time, they brought it back to three, but they missed two frees 30 yards out, and I'd say 25 yards out. No, the 25 yard out being at an angle. And when you're an underdog like that,
you need
instead of having it back to that point coming up to the water break, the Bridge went down and clipped over two to have five in it at the water break. And just to touch on, you know, and I'm going to write actually a piece on it now, a bit of work to do now on it for tomorrow. Just the weird, like our own county final. I didn't find it so weird last week, TJ, going to the Limerick one, because it's not my own final. I was doing a job. I was going in, doing it for the day. I just went up and did my job. But going into Cusick Park yesterday, the whole thing of leaving home, nearly planning maybe that you wouldn't be in a rush home afterwards, that you'd stroll up to the Diamond or Kieran Brown's, and you'd meet a few of the Clare boys from the 90s. And everyone goes to the county final, like. And that was all gone yesterday. Even leaving home, like, RTE had me told to be in there at 2:30. I got into the car about 1:40, and even my youngest girl, Luna, said to me, "You're cutting it a bit tight." She said, "There'll be no one there." There was all wrong.
No,
the driving. No, and, like, just the whole weirdness. I remember my first county final, like, running out in 89, my first one on the team, you know, the whole buzz of 10,000 in Cusick Park, and you know how much noise 10,000 can make in a venue like that as well, like, and just the difference in the whole thing is just part of what we had to live with this year. But huge credit to the boards around the country, lads, the show they put on. I mean, we had a 78 page, I have it here in front of me, county final programme, I'd say, which will act as a bit of a clear yearbook now as well, because it covered the football final, which was Saturday, the intermediate football final, which was earlier yesterday, and the minor A hurling final, which was Saturday. So, but it also covered a multitude of other stuff, you know, loads of stuff, because we didn't get any bit of an old clap in the back for the 25 year team in 95.
Oh,
TJ, do you want me to add insult to injury?
Yeah.
Do you know who's coming out next year?
96.
It's Wexford, TJ. It's not Limerick.
I knew
you might take the bait on the earlier bit, but fairness. And they didn't, there was no big pile of shite wrote about it. Fairest of Michael O'Connor, PRO, magnificent job. Do you know what he did? He just did a whole series of pictures. And there were pictures of supporters even, you know, with the stupid Viking hats on them. And it was lovely, just a two-page spread on what it meant, I suppose, at the time.
Yeah,
and like, look, there's been enough written about it and enough. And there's been enough books written and all the rest, like, you know, and probably more to come, you know. But yeah, I just have to say, I found it very strange, but I have to say, hats off. Hard luck to O'Callaghan's Mills, I suppose. They really, you know, to knock out Ballyhea in the semi-final, I suppose. Now, look.
Did it take a lot out of them, Dale, do you think?
Well, look, they knocked out the two teams I sort of fancied. I'm Nicky Lamona as my long shots at the start of the year, LA or BlackRock maybe.
Yeah.
And Bellier as my team, with the Kellys, the Jack Browns, the Paul Flanagans, the, you know, like the Harden Clare guys, you know.
Yeah.
Niall Deasy. You know, they had
would they have put it up the 6 mile bridge a bit more, do you think?
Yeah, and it's very hard to take away from the Mills getting there, then, you know. But definitely, I suppose, we're in the final, a lot of people... No, the Mills didn't win it since 37. So, for that reason, we'd have... And they won the Junior A for the first time in years the previous week. So, everyone thought maybe there's something. Oh, but you know what? This Bridge team under Davey don't do romantic stories. Like, they just... Yeah. Like, fellas were saying to me during the week, is it the Mills year? And I said, no, they'll grind them down. And they just... The method of play and look... For them to do back-to-back for the third time. And like no one has done back-to-back in almost 10 years since Cusheen and Clare. That's how kind of... It's different in Limerick, TJ, if you know what I mean, about the big four in Limerick.
Yeah.
Kind of anyone can win it in Clare, but they mightn't all be as good as the big four in Limerick. Do you know what I mean? It's very open in that sense.
You see, let's give Six-Man Bridge a huge amount of credit because it takes a fair bit of ambition and drive to go back. Because, like, in the second year, you're the team to beat. Everyone is, like, really raising their game. That's their county final to beat you. And, like, you have to give them a lot of credit for that. And actually, last week, Dello, I forgot to give mention to Belly Brown in Limerick, who have put minor titles back to back again, which is a phenomenal achievement. It augurs very well for your underage setup to say you can go and win minor titles. And obviously, augurs very well for the future that you have two minor teams now to call on. So, I forgot to mention them last week, so well done to Bay Brown. Obviously, doing a lot of things right. But to go back to Davy and Six Mile Bridge, I don't know why they didn't, like, I was reading about it was every 2 years since whatever, 2013 or something, that they had won counties and that they had obviously failed to do the back to back. But credit to them this time around, it takes a fair bit of ambition and drive for the players to come out and then just kind of retain the trophy.
Yeah, for a club that won their first one in 77. TJ, to hit their, Jesus, was it the 14th or 15th yesterday? Like, it's fair shooting now. From that, you know, like, we won our first in 43 and we're still a nice bit behind them at this stage.
Having
been a good bit ahead of them by the mid-90s, you know, they've just rattled on. And again, lads, you were on about Belly Brown there, TJ. Their underage set up, like, this year, they were about the fourth favourites, I'd say, for the under-14A, which was, like, your premier 14. Michael O'Halloran over the team, cornerback for us in 95. His young fella centre-back, they came out and won it and came from behind, forced extra time against Einik in the Mona and won it. And that's what it's all about, lads, isn't it? You can't...
Well, you have to... In order to have some kind of long-term success, there has to be a platform there that you have players coming through year on year. It won't just automatically happen. So that's probably obvious at this stage.
And in the last week, Anthony, as well, and just to go through this live streaming again, just to reiterate how important it is and how popular it has become. Sarah's played St. Finbar's in the minor Premier One final last Wednesday night. 12,000 people watched the match live.
And one in Clare.
And one down here in East Cork. And one in San Francisco. Because I was talking to Brian Hurley, the manager of the team who's been involved with Cork. And a one man in the background, Jimmy Barry Murphy, back with the Bears Miners. Yeah. They won three in a row back 30 years ago. And Jimmy was involved then. But like they put on a massive, massive show. But again...
And a young Cunningham shooting the lights out in the forwards.
George Youngfella was absolutely brilliant. And Niall Cahalan, Youngfella, Jack Cahalan, held scoreless in the first half, came up with 2-2 in the second half. And to add another bit of intrigue, St. Finbar's are playing Newcestown in the football quarterfinal this Wednesday. And the winners, it would look like the Bears will probably win it. They're playing Castlehaven in the semi-final, possibly. Geez. And the Cahalans, who play hurling with Blackrock, with the Bears, are playing football with Castlehaven. There's one for you.
Geez, you've so many anomalies down there, but I tell you, it's just there's no name.
Next year, Dela.
Dela,
just a matter of interest there. I suppose when I was, you know, back a young lad, I remember watching your heyday, I suppose, the Clare Castles, 6 Mile Bridge, the Wolf Tones, going on up to Crow Park winning Club All Ireland's.
Or Hair Day.
A Hair Day. What's the difference? What have 6 Mile Bridge done that since then they've consistently been adding county titles, you know, whereas maybe it hasn't been the case with the other?
No, like in Dora Barefield now, well beaten in the intermediate semi-final. Yeah. And, you know, they were a team that won 3 out of 4 years at the turn of the century.
Johnny Mack and...
And obviously, Johnny Mack, Jamesy's and Ollie's, and these guys don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
And with ourselves, for me, it's been... Okay, we won in 05, so you'd have been happy kind of 03, 05. You'd have said, and we were in for a bit of a lean spell. But, you know, we started getting to minor finals again around 12, and we've been in 6 or 7 minor A finals, like, that'll be premier minor, like, in other countries. We just struggling to bring them through, like, you know, and I don't know where we're falling down. I mean, I got involved myself in the 21s, and we're only hoping that it'll be played. It wasn't one of the competitions down to be played because of the priorities, obviously, with getting X amount of competition. But we're hoping now that 16 and 21, but obviously with the inter-county minor and 20s, that's a major factor whether they'll get to go ahead. Like, if Clare go on a bit of a run in either or two of those, we could be shoved out. But if they don't, they'll be played. So we'd be hoping, we'd a lot of work done with 21s, but we'd have no guarantees of playing Kilmaley, and that'd be, they'd be favourites to win that. But yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it, Brian. Wolf Tones would have fallen away as well, but again, the two Lohans, like, just were, you had Frank Sinter and Brian Full.
I remember.
Jesus, it was a long way going, and they had other really good players in Sean Powers and the O'Rourkes and fellas like Paul Lee and fellas, you know, they had really, really good players around the place. I'd probably left out great ones. You know, so I suppose, look, the Bridge are the one crowd that are nearly obsessive about their underage right from the get-go. Like, I remember, like, when I was training in Clare, this, I'll tell this quickly, Brian, now, and I'm not pointing fingers at anyone Clare now, right? But when I was training Clare, actually, when I was involved, I think, with the Limerick minor, I was training Clare, but it was an all-weather pitch in UL. Not the one they had at the moment, of the first all-weather pitch they put in there. Clare had that booked out for kind of 2 hours on a Saturday morning. And we never really used the full 2 hours, as you wouldn't, because we used to go over off the Astro, maybe after an hour and 20 minutes hurling, and we'd go over into the hills then, or the dunes around the running track, and go running and that. And as soon as we were coming off the field, there was this bunch of under eights or nines or sixes even, coming on with a Sean Stack or someone like that, or a, you know, a Michael Holloran or a Christy Chaplin coming on, knowing they might get 40 minutes out of the Clare time. Now, I don't know who tipped them off about that. I won't point any fingers. Kirkcaldy didn't know about it, like. But, you know, like, look, you have to take your hat off to them. That they're, and there's no football. You know, Cracklaw beside them. They were beaten in the football final Saturday. They could Cracklaw have 3 or 4 hurling now if they hadn't football? Could they have 3 or 4 football if they hadn't hurling? But there's no football in the Bridge. As Gilly said when he brought back the cup there 3 or 4 years ago, this is hurling country. And you have to admire them. You know, you really have to admire them. Look, at everybody knows there was a dispute with Davey when he finished up with Clare. Tim Crowe was a Clare selector. They've come back together now under Paddy Meehan, who's a great chairman for them, and he's a selector. And they're working together now. Tim is the manager, Davey's the coach. That's the type of club. Grudges are left behind for the sake of the Bridge. And that's where I give them the massive, massive credit this morning that they absolutely deserve, you know. So as usual, lads, we've probably gone over time. Super stuff. Lads, one thing I just wanted to throw at you, right? And we're in for an awful interesting time ahead, obviously. Like, you know, how do you see, like, the 30... Is there something to be said for the 30-minute halves? Because these water breaks are here to stay with this pandemic. And as Ken rightly said last week, I suppose, the inter-county is hanging by a thread. And we saw the numbers again last night. And college, like, we dropped one lady to Cork yesterday. The Memmie was enlisted to that. And I dropped another lady back to Mary Eye yesterday evening. And, like, there was a Wexford girl in the house. There was a Kerry girl in the house. You know, so who knows what's going to come with colleges going back. I know now it's limited time in the colleges. And obviously one girl is going to Cork at first year. So they're trying to look after the first years, I suppose, and show them around and things. But, like, we are hanging by a thread. But, like, with the water breaks and everything, are we going to see, like, 94, 95-minute inter-county matches? That's
definitely the other for me.
I think it's massive, TJ.
It's huge. And I think what we're going to see coming down the track here is an awful lot of, I'd say, tactical stuff coming from the likes of Davey, whether it is or John Kiley in Kinnerk in Limerick or the other managers, right? Like, I take us yesterday, we had a very good opening quarter, then we went to the water break and we had a shocking second quarter, right? So does that interrupt there? Like, let's say an inter-county team here, like some of the games here with Clare and Galway, remember Galway got a great start, right? Like, when you get the guys to the water break, what are you going to do? You're going to elongate that break as long as possible. You're going to try and throw in something there. So a very fair point there, very fair. I would say that you're looking at, like yesterday again, our second half was 37 minutes. Right, the wild break was probably quickish enough in the second half, but they do tend to run into 36, 37 minutes. So are you looking at now, with 35 minutes, are you looking at 42, 43 minutes? Yeah,
I know there was 80-minute finals before, but Hoagie, we saw an Antrim semi-final, the ref played 41 minutes in the second half to get extra time to murder them all together, for another 20 minutes.
It's interesting you mentioned Antrim, because I was talking to a colleague of mine who's based up in Belfast, and his young lads are kicking football in the city, and he was at a match, and to touch on TJ's point about the whole tactical element, because it's not supposed to be a tactical element, it's purely supposed to be a break for water and back in. And you can see the club sides, they're even the Borough, the other, they were walking back in the pitch, and the manager was back pacing with them, giving them instructions as they were going into positions. And in your county level, it's only going to go in another level. But the ref in the club match, I think it was a minor under 16, said to him before the match, lads, it's a minute for water break, and I'm throwing the ball in, and that's it. There's to be no instructions. And one of the teams was late on the field, and he threw the ball up.
Goal.
And the went berserk, and he said, I told you, it's not meant to be. So, you know, how hard do you want to play? But, you know, strictly speaking, it's supposed to be, you know, for water break and not for, you know, it's not a half time. It's not a, you know, to be imparting tactical decisions and movements on. So we will end up in a situation with 80-minute matches, you know, and this kind of thing.
Add in 85,
you could be looking.
But then add in that all these games are finished on the day with the possible 85 plus extra time. Yeah. So I just said, bring the flask and the sandwiches, Dale, and we know the conversation.
We could be like Matt Lenders trying to come home from Dundalk. It could be midnight. Get away, Queen.
I had the 80-minute situation over the weekend with BlackRock and UCC. And the fitness levels of the players was phenomenal. The intensity probably dropped a little bit, but not a whole pile now at the same time. And Anthony, I'll be straight with you. I think going forward, I think the GA should be looking at four quarters now and make it official, because I think there's a huge amount of time and effort going in from the management. And I do think they should give a 3-minute break at the quarter and give it a time to get your fluids in and get a few instructions in and give it 3 minutes and start the way. Because the time that's going in on the management side, and like if you have the two halves, we'd say heretofore, you only get one chance to say something to the lads at half time, and then the whole thing is gone for, and your whole year is over and it goes out. And like soccer is played over 90 minutes, rugby is played over 80 minutes. There's no reason why the GA lads can't go back up to 80 minutes, in my opinion.
Yeah. They don't have to go to work the following day now, in fairness.
Paul
made the point about the Limerick hurlers, and they say, you were over them, TJ, and he said there were some of them in the gym the following morning, like trying to get recovery in before work, and he was going to a yoga session, like, you know, and like we it's very hard. I kind of agree with you, maybe the four quarters to stay, but I think then we have to look at maybe 7 or 8 subs being allowed.
Right, okay.
Dale, one question I was going to ask you was, do you know what the thinking behind not stopping the clock on that water break was? What was their theory? Was it was going to be swift? Because it was a strange call to let the clock run away. So that was kind of allowing teams to kind of say, okay, let it run down there for another minute or two, and it goes to 2 or 3 minutes. You would imagine it would have been a straightforward decision if the referee said, stop the clock, then restart. What was the thinking behind that?
I don't know. I'm not privy to those ones, TJ. And that would make sense, actually, what you're saying. And I suppose, look, to be fair to them, on the year that's in it, I suppose they're trying to learn on their feet. And maybe if this is a thing going forward, they will look at that. But on the coaching thing, and I was on about maybe because of the crowd yesterday, and I'll probably mention it in the piece tomorrow, that Joanne Cantwell nearly asked me off air, had I sore throat or anything, because I was kind of whispering. She thought I was talking low, but I was so conscious that the 6 Mile Bridge subs and management could nearly hear me. Like, you know, such was the lack of atmosphere, but you know, there's no doubt, as we said it, like about the cute managers, and you brought up, Brian, about the ref having the Lee Herodi to throw it in. But the Mills were out after the first water break, and Davey, backs, he said, get back here. And the backs were halfway to the position, and he ran out to them. Yeah. A quick word with the 6 backs about what something that he had forgotten maybe to get in during the 90 seconds. But they got away with it anyway. There was no ball turned in.
I'd nearly be the opposite. I mean, I haven't, I suppose, given it a huge amount of thought, but, you know, I'd slightly go the opposite way to Mark in terms of, I think it takes away from the flow of the match, that where you're breaking it every 15 minutes. And part of the thing I used to enjoy was thinking the match, you know, like you're thinking it out as you go and players figuring out, you know, what's happening in front of your eyes. And if you're breaking every 15 minutes, I feel okay, it gives more onus or more control, certainly, to the management to tweak things, you know, because it's very difficult, particularly in Croke Park, to make any changes until you get lads in at half time. But I don't know. I just, you know, I think the match develops a bit of a flow. Maybe that's just what I'm used to, you know, and I just feel a 15-minute break. I'm like, oh, God, we had a break already. Things are just getting going. And
but I think, Brian, that can go for you or go
yeah,
against
it can.
You.
Like, yeah, yeah, for sure.
I was at the Father and Ease Newstone game yesterday, and Newstone were leading at the first break. And within 6 minutes of the second break, Farrell Neal was after scoring 3 goals. Now, I was talking to Noosa stuff, like, he was savage that there was a water break.
Yeah.
And then Farrell Neal, but sure, the same could happen the other way around. Like, so I just think that, you know, there are things coming out of the pandemic that we wouldn't have taken on board. One of them is live streaming, and one of them may be four quarters going forward.
It's just
a feeling.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, lads. What a lot of people are saying, and you see it on social media, and we'd love a bit of feedback on your thoughts on social media, actually, on this. And Mark, seeing you're not on Twitter unless you're on a snaky name, we'll forward you the stuff that's on about you, like, you know, about killer lads having a COVID stone and stuff like that. Yeah, you're going to get grief, Landers, we know that. But the thing is,
that's why I'm not on Twitter. It's not snaky name or anything yellow, because I get enough hassle at home that I don't mind just watching Twitter.
Taylor, do we know the TV plan for the weekend? Surely the Little All Ireland is on national TV.
Well, sure, with the Examiner free live streaming it every week, TJ, it's costing no one 8 quid or 10 quid like in Limerick.
I think there might be a rights issue coming this weekend, Taylor. Oh, I don't think the live streaming will be up. From what I can gather.
Okay, I'll take your job for the weekend. There's no problem. I'll talk to him Monday anyway.
Can you speak Irish? There's no way you can speak Irish, Dela.
Oh, Jesus, TG Cowan.
Brady is back.
Jeez, after the Tour de France, I nearly have it off.
Sam Bennett Arish.
Sam Bennett for that. Gorham. Come here.
Before you finish, what about our boys?
We never get finished, Landers.
What about, come here, you have to mention Noel and John McGrath. Come on, give him a smile.
Oh, Jesus, lads. Yeah, there was a couple of things, Jesus. And if we forget it, you know what, like, what those two fellas and the other lads, Brian and I, and John Maher, centre-back, all the same fellas playing, beaten again a point yesterday. And a great picture, their manager, what's his name? He's another McGrath, Frankie McGrath, trying to pick Noel off the ground at the final whistle yesterday. And you know what? I heard there was a bit of a challenge match for Cork, if they're a bit of a trimming on Saturday, and I heard there was lads playing that, in my opinion, should be on a bit of a break. But I'm sure Liam Sheedy, Brian, I know Brian Cody didn't give lads too much break. I don't know, but I'm sure Liam Sheedy would be clever enough to say it to the two McGraths, because they're not playing that first weekend. They have the bye to go away and take 10 days for themselves, like, wouldn't they need it?
Absolutely. I mean, as much from the mental side of things as the physical, you know, to just give them that space, for sure. I mean, you're obviously going to have the disappointment to get over, but just that week in, week out, a relentless kind of nature of what those lads have gone through, more so than anyone. I think absolutely. I mean, give them the bit of space, and, you know, hurling wise and all that, there's no fears about, you know, the likes of Noel and John have stopped back into the setup. I mean, to be fair to Brian, you know, I suppose with the Ballyhale boys and that, you know, I mean, all relative, you know, but certainly the likes of TJ and Henry, they were never rushed back. You know, they came back into the setup after they got their 2 weeks or whatever, just to enjoy it, you know, take the breather, whatever it was, and come back then hungry for it. So I'm sure, look, Liam is no slouch, you know, he'll know exactly what to do, and I'm sure he'll probably have a chat to them later on in the week. You know, he'll give them a phone call and touch base with them and see how they're feeling. And, you know, maybe, you know, they'll want to. I know when I lost the Club All-Ireland and Brian rang me on the Wednesday, and the last thing I wanted to do was to go back in. I was licking my wounds and whatever else, and he kind of said to me, look, get back on the horse, it's the best thing for you, come back in, you know. And I didn't get time off, and actually for me that was probably the best thing, you know. But look, I'm sure Liam will talk to the lads and see what way their heads are at.
And Brian, after watching Ballyhale there for the last couple of weeks, Kilkenny for the All-Ireland?
Not at all, TJ. You're joking me. Did you see your piercing? Jesus Christ, what a power. What an outfit.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things.
What an outfit.
And you've Coola out in Dublin. You've Ballyhale. Like in Clare, we were either going to have the Glen or the Rockies. We know they'd have been favourites with the build-up. But you'd have Piercing, Kildang and Ballygunner on Six Mile Bridge. What a Munster club we would have had.
And Dale, there's a huge amount of managers coming out now straight away and asking the GAA to reconsider the decision on that. Is there any? It's a crossover against the Inter-County, but could we find a January and a February situation to give the clubs after the All-Ireland, the senior All-Ireland has played? Could we have a January and February club All-Ireland, Munster campaign, All-Ireland campaign?
Again, I can't answer that one for you, Mark, but I could say if the COVID storm went on after you not knowing, but then there was light at the end of the tunnel that we were going to have a championship, if someone told me I was finished up and I had no chance of being on the Clare panel today, I think the winter storm would go on fairly lively.
You may or you may not know this now, right? But this will tell you how cute they are in Kerry. Kerry are organising a club championship for their clubs without their inter-county players.
But sure, Jason, they already have a club. They're worse than ye. They already have a club championship without a county championship. East Kerry, Mid Kerry. I have to get hats off to David Clifford's goal as well, if any saw. If it was on match of the day, Gary Lineker could have come out through the screen. Jeannie Mac, just not joking, you know, and this fella again has to go to work this morning or college or something anyway. Well, lads, look at, I think, you know, an awful lot of people on social media are saying, God, be rid of 2020 as soon as we can, but we've not created mileage out of it as well, haven't we, with what we thought was doom and gloom. And look, we are worried about the figures, and we totally agree with what Ron and Glenn is telling us there every week, and we urge people to be cautious, but we've got a great amount of mileage out of the club stuff and looking forward to Winter All-Ireland as well.
Yeah, and like, you know, TJ mentioned it earlier on, like, you know, about the fact of the live streaming and the standard of club hurling, could it match the inter-county stuff? We saw the Tipperary County final. We saw James Stevens and Ballyhale. You know, you have the Glen and the Rockies first final, I think, since 1978 that the players, the Glen and the Rockies. But also the numbers on the live streaming, Anthony, 25,000 people tuned in to BlackRock and UCC, and 26,000 people tuned in to the Glen and the Amazon. That is phenomenal. And that's just people that are clicking in. That's not saying that there's 2, 3, 4, 5 people sitting at home watching the match. Yeah. Or if it's in a pub, that there could be 50 or 100 people watching it. We're spreading the gospel from a hurling point of view and a football point of view into people's homes. The live streaming has been a massive, massive success. And I just hope that the clubs take it on board going forward, that they will continue with the live streaming for their clubs and share the cost between two clubs.
Yeah, so lads, thanks. We went on as usual, but the talk is good of a Monday morning. Hopefully, TJ, you'll be in shape to talk next Monday morning. 20 minutes to do, as I said. Hoagie, pleasure to have you as always. And what we've established this morning is Mark Landers wants the GAA to turn into American football. where you arrive at the stadium at about 3 o'clock in the day and you're let out after four quarters at about 7 o'clock that evening, full of Heineken, Carlsberg and popcorn. Good morning, T.